activated.
You dirty peasant. You dirty, dirty peasant. He's Bond. Don't mess with me, okay?
Grass effect.
What?
Grass effect.
Weapons selected.
This is Gaming Fallout, brought to you from the London Shelter, hosted by the retro critic, very kindly, Adam, on his blog, starring me, Dale,
and Jamie.
Heyo.
From Silent Consumer, you can find us there on YouTube, and also the Big Rewind podcast, which you can find on the Retroclitic blog. It all comes full circle. What we're going to get into quickly, the prologue, we're going to talk about Overwatch. So, social justice warriors of all kinds have lost their damn minds. Overwatch is the new first-person shooter game coming from... who is it, Jamie? It's Battle, it's Blizzard. That's who it is. So, and they're taking some flack for the over-sexualized female characters. And I'm just going to say right now, I think this is complete nonsense. The characters are all make-believe. They're clearly cartoons, so why can't they be sexy? This is bollocks.
They're talking about these cel-shaded, you know, bigger-than-life characters.
Yeah,
and the thing is, they have the opposite as well. They have guys who are, you know, absolutely hench and obviously not proportional.
Yeah,
you know, to real world standards. So, yeah.
I'm looking at it right now, right? And they have a woman who's absolutely hench.
Yeah, they do,
and not towards any standards.
She's not got like a bikini on or anything. She's got this body armor shit on. She looks like. I don't know. She looks like she could take anyone on. And in fact, I'm quite surprised by this, because even though they've got like larger than life proportions, their clothing choices are actually pretty conservative by today's standards.
Yeah. I mean, so... I don't understand it, because the whole idea that was reasonable was like, don't put out unrealistic body expectations for anyone.
Yeah.
But it's never their argument. It's always their argument that there are unrealistic body expectations for women. Which in and itself, your base argument that you set up is sexist. I never understood it. Never understood it. Why can't the men in the game look good? Why can't the women in the game look good? Well, just in general, you don't necessarily want to play a game full of ugly people. I mean, just aesthetics are important to games. Graphics are important.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, of course.
They still are. It's not. We're not in some bizarre alternate universe where people like to look at garbage.
Yeah.
No.
That's all fair. I do know where it kind of stems from a little bit, and I kind of understand a little bit when you have toys like Barbie and Cindy targeted at kids specifically, and they're nowhere near life proportions, but the dolls are designed to be put into real world context. So it's, you can understand it in certain aspects, but other aspects you've got to have certain amount of artistic license. But even with the Barbie example, just exercise your economic right to not fucking buy it.
even in the Barbie example, I remember a bloke called Ken. Who is hench as hell? Like, that guy was lifting. Come on now. You know?
Are we talking about equality, gender roles? It's like, the thing is that context is important in all these things. And I feel like for social justice warriors, they kind of, what they like more than anything is the argument. They don't really care too much what the argument is. They just need to be contrary to any kind of intelligent discussion about these things.
Yeah, well, I think that the giant elephant in the room always when we get into these discussions and you get into these arguments is the fact that they make money out of this. They make
an
inordinate amount of money bashing on something that people love, and that's why they get so much hate for it.
People will gladly be dumb for money. All right, just look at Ben Carson and like Donald Trump. They're dumb for money. Okay, so
I'm dumb for the monies. Do it for the monies.
It's not surprising, but it's definitely something that should be talked about and brought up time and time again in order to make sure people have the right ammunition in order to at least challenge and have proper discussions about gender roles, because it is an important discussion to talk about women in gaming. Of course it is. It's probably more important to talk about women behind the games, the girls who are like designing and constructing and making the games and writing the games, which
way
is
more important.
It's
way
so,
more important.
Yeah, exactly. It's more important to make sure they're involved in making video games.
Yeah.
Rather than it is to be like, there's not enough women in games. Well, that's a lie anyway. There are tons of women in games. Okay.
Some of gaming's biggest icons are women.
Well, there's at least recently we've had, we're going to have Fallout 4, which you can now, will be able to pick a woman in, which is great. You had Mass Effect, which was great because you could follow having a woman through all the games in the series.
No, you can in the first one.
Oh, not the first one. I thought they patched that.
Not in the original game.
Not in the original. Okay, fair enough. But I think they added it later so that you could go back and do the whole series with female Shepard. But also that kind of blew up as well, and I noticed there's so much cosplay of the red hair, which is great.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, I mean, the recent Tomb Raiders, I think, are good portrayals as well. But it's just saying that's an artistic choice. You can have women who are in tough situations that handle it differently, depending on their character. They could handle it in a tough manner, in a powerful manner. They could handle it in a manner where they're cowards.
Yeah, we've gotten to the point where characters can just be characters. They shouldn't be defined by their gender.
Exactly.
That's where we've gotten to here. Like, you know, they don't have to have roles or stereotypes based on their gender. They're just characters. And that's what the game, the storyline dictated that they wanted to have. They wanted to have these characters and it be these genders. It's just fighting for the sake of fighting. With this Overwatch thing, it's complete madness. But anyway,
there's far more important matters in the gaming industry than this particular twisting of feminism within gaming.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about some of them right now as we get out of this nightmare and into something much nicer, which would probably be just something worse. But anyway, to the storyline, use the music drop, which I have already forgotten. But yeah, I'm sure it's great.
News.
Yeah.
All right. Here's some news and some exciting stuff and some interesting stuff and hype train stuff, because I'm super excited for Fallout 4. It's coming out in 5 days. I should be getting it on the midnight release at my local store, which I'm looking forward to going and queuing up with a bunch of strangers to get the game and hopefully some swag. And the launch trailer just came out today. And there's a couple of things in it that look really, really interesting. A lot of it we've already seen. There's some gameplay. There's some story elements added to it. The story elements are very vague, except they mention something called the Institute, which seems to be very important.
Sounds
to the
a lot
story
like the
line.
Enclave, but yeah.
Yeah, could be related to the Enclave. Could be a new entity in itself, like some scientists that all grouped together from one of the vaults. Maybe one of the vaults was the Institute. We don't know. They showed off some kind of weird-esque robots as well that look very kind of slimmed down, not militaristic, look kind of more like, I'm trying to think, of like Metropolis-type robots. You know, they can't necessarily pass for humans, but they are humanoid. They look really interesting. We saw some of the gameplay with the woman being the choice And we also heard her voice in the trailer. Okay, so and it switches from the male voice and the female voice, which is pretty good. Also, yeah. To coincide with this, the Fallout 4 Pip-Boy app was also launched. So for all of you who pre-ordered and got the Mega Edition, whatever it's called,
You know what I need? I need a soundboard, and I just need a snooze button whenever we talk about like a companion app. Just a big snooze button.
I'll talk about it a little bit, because this looks to be one of the better companion apps.
Oh, but it's still a companion app. I know.
So it looks like it does everything that the Pip-Boy is going to do. That's obvious. But it also looks like it has some mini-games in it. So one of the mini-games that's in it on launch is called Atomic Commander, which is obviously the same as Missile Command.
Yeah. You can already play those games on the App Store.
No, of course you can. But it's just a nice little, you know, extra. That's all. Yeah. You don't have to deal with it. But it's just snooze a nice button. Little distraction. Maybe play it during the loading screens. I don't know. But
no loading screens. Don't do that to me. I don't want any loading screens. I don't want to play that game and find loading screens.
There's got to be some for the fast traveling. So.
None. No loading screens. Instant. I mean, everything.
GTA did a pretty good loading screen, you know, where it pulls out and then it zooms into another player. I thought that was pretty good.
GTA had garbage loading screens. Come off it.
No, not the loading screen at the beginning. I mean, once you're in the game and you're going between characters,
that's just the transition in and out of the loading screen. That's not the loading screen.
That is a loading screen. That's just a more creative loading screen. Anyway.
Garbage.
That's come out. I had a little play with it because you can only really play with the demo. They put a little demo in the app and you can go through your perks and stuff like that. And it's got some examples of the build. But, you know, it probably won't be essential. You'll probably be able to do everything else in the game. But I know for a lot of people who probably spent all that money on the actual Pip-Boy to put their iPhone in, I'm sure they're going to love it because it's, you know, it's an actual physical action to do this stuff. Obviously, it's going to be much slower than just doing it in the game. But anyway, we got the release date of Plants v. Zombie Garden Warfare 2. And their new spoof is called Grass Effect.
What?
Grass Effect, based on Mass Effect.
Okay,
so
cool.
In the game, you're going to be able to cool down a suit, which, you know, is like a cartoon version of one of the suits in Mass Effect. They call it the Z7. And basically, it's a mecha kind of suit that you can get into in the game. And I guess a bit like Titanfall as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
More like Titanfall, because you don't really do that in Mass Effect.
No, I know. Anyway. So that's coming out on the 23rd of February 2016. And there's some gameplay up and some videos and stuff. So if you want to check that out, you can check it
coming
out on
YouTube. Coming out in February?
Yeah.
God, that's a odd time for it. But, okay.
You know, we played the first one, both of us, and I enjoyed it. It didn't keep me going back to it.
I enjoyed it, but for about, you know, a couple of hours. Then I got annoyed with playing with randomers online, because they were the worst.
True.
Yeah.
Now, something we can definitely talk about is...
Hashtag talked about.
Rainbow Six microtransactions got detailed.
Oh boy.
So what we know so far is that there
Ubisoft
are four DLCs.
The
Well, there are four DLCs which will be free within the first year. And the microtransaction currency is called Renown. And it can be earned in-game, but also paid for. And this will be used to unlock skins and new character types. The character types are obviously gameplay related. So that's a bit annoying. Though I don't know how easy it is to earn Renown. So I don't know if that's kind of a currency for people who are going to come to the game late and want to catch up with everyone, or if it's kind of going to be a bit game-breaking, but we'll see. I'm very disappointed that they're doing this at all, because they've also
got
another currency.
I mean, Ubisoft have been shoving microtransactions into every one of their games for no apparent reason other than the fact that they're trying to nickel and dime us. I mean, why do the Assassin's Creed games have microtransactions? There's no need for it. There's no reason to do that. They're single player experiences. Well, it's madness.
Well, this is much more multiplayer, so I think it's going to affect the gameplay quite significantly. But anyway, there's another microtransaction currency in the game called R6 credits. And this will be for skins and cosmetics only, which is strange. If you're going to do that, then why the fuck have you got the other currency in it?
Because Ubisoft just want your monies, and they realize that, you know, their market share is dwindling. Like, their assassins, their biggest franchises are losing people too quickly. Yes. And given, I never thought The Division was coming out this year, like, I never bought into that, but it was weird because they never said it, but everyone just started assuming that it was coming out this year. Maybe because they thought it'd come out a year after Watch Dogs, but Ubisoft never said it'd come out this year. And so it was all really bizarre, but people got really disappointed by the fact it wasn't coming out this year, which I never really understood. But
yeah, it's strange considering how many other games Ubisoft is going to bring out.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is they've lost a lot of fan backing, especially with Assassin's Creed's kind of repetitiveness.
And the fact that Unity was broken on launch.
Unity was broken. What was their driving game called? It was The Crew?
Yeah, that didn't do so well either.
Yeah, it didn't do so well, but it followed so many of the tropes of the Assassin's Creed franchise. So you have to drive here and unlock all the icons on the map and then drive to the icons and do all the little submissions. And just the game design was so stale.
Yeah.
People just want to move on from that game design. Even in great games like Far Cry, people want to move on. They don't want to have to unlock all the icons on the map anymore. People don't want to have to bother doing all that little bit stuff. They want quality content, which you can now provide. You don't have to give all the the crappy other content. It's a bit like Batman did this as well, where they had some really quality side content, but then they buried it under a load of really generic side content, like fight 20 dudes again. Wait, fought 20 dudes for the 12th time? You need to fight them again. It's like, we don't need to do that 20 times, Batman. We don't need to keep fighting these same dudes over and over again.
The thing is, Batman, the main campaign and the storyline is long enough and is really engaging that it's really unnecessary to add the repetitive stuff. But one's going to complain that game is short.
Yeah, but that's exactly the same with the Assassin's Creed games. It's like, you don't need so much of the side stuff, which is just time-filling. It just takes up time, and it kind of leads the player to a point where they just get lethargic with your game, and you just need to stop that. It's got to be about quality. There has to be enough of it, but you've got to make it more about quality, Ubisoft. I tell you this now. More about quality, not quantity, because your quantity levels are just, it's too much garbage.
It is insane,
Yeah, too much garbage, not enough quality.
I think designers and developers should look at trophies and achievements and see how many people actually bother getting all the different things.
Yeah.
And then you can go, okay, well, no one's got this trophy which is related to these side stories. Let's not do those kind of side stories anymore. It's obvious that people are not bothering. Because on PlayStation, for example, you can see how many people have a particular trophy. Now, obviously, the really hard ones, not as many people are going to have those. And a lot of the trophies are post-story. So, not many people are going to have
those.
You're
making far too much sense. You're saying, do a little bit of research and maybe change your game design. But why would Ubisoft ever make any sense? That's what I ask you. They would be the worst if EA and Konami didn't exist.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Activision. Konami have almost taken the crown from EA, in my opinion. They've really gone off the deep end. Because they've released their Silent Hill pachinko machine.
Yes.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So okay, so on to something that might be more interesting, but again, I'm always skeptical of these kind of stories. But The Witcher is getting a film adaptation in 2017.
Garbage, don't care.
And it's going to be based on the novels, which the games are also based on. I don't know, you know, how much of the story they're going to take from either the first, second, or third game. It's obviously not many details at the moment, but it seems like there's still a drive in Hollywood to have adaptations of big games. You know, The Last of Us, for example.
I've got to say, right, I literally played through The Witcher 2 all the way through, completed it. The only reason I was able to complete it because the game glitched out and the dragon couldn't hurt me. Shout out to glitches. Legend. But I completed it and I was happy. But I look back on it now, and unlike a lot of the other games that I played all the way through, especially the longer RPGs, I cannot for the life of me remember what the storyline was. There was something about... And I'm playing Witcher 3. There was something about a king who died and I was there. And I saw him die, and I was like, oh shit, that's bad news. And then we went somewhere for a while, for no apparent reason. And then we went somewhere else, and then I saved Trish. Marigold.
Redhead.
And that was it. That was my recollection of the storyline. And the thing about The Witcher, what I love about The Witcher is I love the universe. Yes. And I love all the... I love the immersiveness and just kind of all the plot lines that go on. But the main plot line, I always thought, was a bit lackluster.
It's all the little side things that you can do that are given just
just flesh out the universe, which were great, and I really enjoyed them, and I really enjoy being Geralt in that universe. Yeah. But well, I don't necessarily, because he's a badass. It's like, I'm a Witcher, don't mess with me, I'll shank you in the eye, and then normally you get the option to then shank them in the eye.
Yeah, I love that. It's always an option.
Yeah, which is always like, enough of this, and then you get to do the shanking. But in The Witcher 2, the main plotline was all a bit bizarre. And then in the end, you can kind of just ignore it and be like, no, I'll save the mage woman. Because obviously, it's just weird. So to say to me that, oh, now they're making a movie of it, I would respond with, but that's not what makes the games great, you know?
Of course.
Because you're never going to have all
true
the
of all
other stuff
adaptations.
That makes it great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Oh boy, would be my reaction to that.
Yeah.
My reaction to that would be, I very much doubt that it happens. But we'll see. If Uncharted, if the Uncharted movie and the Ratchet and Clank movie, if they come off, then maybe.
Yeah.
But otherwise...
We haven't had a winner yet. We need the first winner to kind of pave the way for how you adapt video games.
Yeah, we need our Iron Man, is what we need.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like,
anyway,
next thing.
I want to sleep at some point today.
All right. Now, this is the last thing, and this is really quick. Call of Duty Black Ops gets released soon. In fact, in about an hour. And
I need a snooze button.
I know. That's the thing.
Did you see the trailer or the little? There was a GIF on Reddit, and it was like you get both your arms and your legs are ripped off.
Great.
By this giant robot, and then he just proceeds to beat you to death.
Okay.
And it was like,
because where are you supposed to go after? Where are you supposed to go after nuking Paris? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's very realistic.
Only in your dreams.
Well, Adam's dreams, because he's just, you know, he just hates himself.
He's going there this weekend, I think.
Oh boy, we should warn some people.
but yeah, that's the news so far.
So, should we get onto a very special Fallout-themed hyped segment of gameplay today?
We'll
talk about the games that we're not actually playing recently, but have played. So here we go. Let's
play to death.
Jamie. We've got to leave bloody spores for a bloody
spores?
Music or something. I don't know. Yeah, spores. We have to leave a spores for some music drop. You know, has to happen. Shut it now.
Berserker Rage.
There you go. Did you hear it? There it was there. Good. Done. Anyway, so today, seeing as Fallout 4 is just minutes away when this podcast probably comes out, because, you know, they won't take long. So Fallout 4 is coming out. So we're going to talk about old Fallout games. Yeah, because we're totally original. Yeah. so we're going to talk about Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas because we're peasants and we haven't played Fallout 1 and 2. Unfortunately.
No, unfortunately.
So do you want to start it off with Fallout 3?
Yeah, sure.
Upward inflection?
All right, this is obviously just going off on my memory. I didn't really make notes, but I remember Fallout 3 being quite a shock to me because I hadn't played the other Fallouts. So
what do you mean, Jamie? You haven't made notes? Come on now, totally professional here. I've got literally like 5 minutes of notes. That's a lie. I have no notes.
So the thing was, when I first picked up Fallout 3, I did pick up on it late. A friend of mine who had actually gone through all the different Fallouts kind of said, oh yeah, you should really check it out. It's great sort of RPG stuff. And I said, oh, all right, I'll play it. Played it, and like, it was one of those types of games where I didn't play anything else for, I don't know, at least a month, and just played this and put so many hours into it. So many hours that I literally broke the game because of the way the save system worked on PlayStation 3 was every single time you did a new save, it basically bricked the game a little bit further. But then going through the main storyline, which is actually quite a very simple storyline where you look for your dad, basically. That's the storyline. And then you find your dad, and then your dad's like, oh, you need to do this thing and help out and do this massive battle with a big robot, it'd be fun. And you're like, yeah, we'll be okay, I'll do this big battle. And then you do it, and then that's the end of the game. Great.
You're pushing buttons, you're like, beep, boop, boop, bop.
But the best side story, I think, that they had is actually one of the first ones you come across, but then you don't necessarily complete until much later in the game, because it's kind of very world changing, which is that you arrive at Megaton, which is the stupidest city building I've ever heard of, which is they built a city around an unexploded atomic bomb.
That makes perfect sense. Don't know what's wrong with that.
And you get the option much later in the game after doing loads of story missions of whether or not to blow it up.
Oh, no, you can do it straight away.
You can do it. No, that's right. Sorry, you can do it straight away, but it's not advisable to do it because it can eliminate a lot of other side story missions.
Well, no, you can blow yourself up with it. You can literally just botch the disarming
of it. Well, you can do it from afar
it.
As well,
yeah,
and completely destroy your karma, which is actually sometimes advisable because you can go from good to neutral, or you know, or
well,
neutral
yeah,
to
we
bad.
We can talk about one of the main things in this game. So this game had the karma scale. Shout out to the karma scale. No one likes the karma scale. But anyway,
no,
the karma
not.
Scale from good to neutral to bad. There were also achievements tied to this. So you could...
Oh, yeah.
There was an achievement for leveling up as good, neutral, and bad. So some people would get close to a level up, blow up Megaton, save it, then blow up Megaton, and then go bad, and then level up, and then load the save, and level up good. And then load the save, kill some people, go neutral, and level up. It's just so ridiculous. Otherwise, you had to play for a hell of a lot of the game 3 times. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure people did. And Bethesda games in general just have this massive following, which obviously means that the life of the game is still going to this day in terms of modding and in terms of content being added by fans, which is, I think, amazing and it's a testament to how good, you know, the game can be in terms of gameplay anyway, that it's a lot of fun. But I mean, there were some really horrible gameplay choices, like not being able to look down the sights, which I think they probably fixed in mods. But they also fixed in New Vegas.
Yes.
And obviously there were quite a lot of bugs in the game.
Not too many in Fallout 3. In the PS, in the Sony version.
In the console versions, which is what I played.
No, in the Xbox version was fine.
No, I know.
The console
PlayStation
version
one was
you've
the worst.
Played. The PlayStation version was garbage. Throw that away. Throw it in the ocean.
I did know there were a lot of bugs on all versions because the thing was whenever I used to go to the wiki to look something up, literally at the bottom of the page would be the bug section. And then it would tell you, okay, make sure you don't do this in this order, otherwise you'll get a bug on the PlayStation. Make sure you don't do this stuff in this order, otherwise you'll get a bug on the Xbox version. And make sure you don't do this, this, and this on the PC version, otherwise you get this bug. And each of them had their own unique bugs, which was quite interesting. And game-breaking bugs as well.
Yeah, I really don't think it was that much of an issue compared to the, like, to any other game.
PlayStation was the worst.
The Xbox version worked perfectly fine for me. I never had anything game breaking. I never had anything happen apart from I lost the dog, and the dog is supposed to respawn if he dies, but he just got stuck somewhere and he disappeared.
You could never find him.
And then there was another one where a guy was traveling across the map.
Yeah,
because it was weird how NPCs actually traveled across the map. They wouldn't fast travel like you could.
Yeah.
So you could fast travel from one location to the next and then watch on the map the NPC traveling. And then I was watching it and the NPC got caught in a battle with super mutants and died. So that ended that quest line.
That's great. I love that. I think that's actually good game design, really.
It's bizarre. Like, I was so disappointed. I was like, this is like the last quest I can do in this whole game, and you've just been killed by super mutants. Great. Thanks. Top marks.
Now, to talk about the DLC a little bit, I thought some of it was quite interesting. I kind of like the one where you go to this bog and there's loads of... It's basically Deliverance. With
New Orleans,
and it's you know, that one was quite fun, but the most fun was the Alien DLC where you get taken up onto a UFO and you've got to escape, and it's all to get like a alien blaster.
There's a funny story with this. So the aforementioned achievements of this game were quite annoying, right? And I think Sarkip had most, if not all of them. And he was going through the alien ship bit.
Yes.
And one of the achievements was tied to picking up all the audio logs.
Yes.
And the messed up thing about this one is that you could miss one. And if you missed it, you couldn't go back.
Yes.
And he missed one really early on. So he went through the whole alien DLC and then tried to go all the way back through the map to get it again. But it was locked away. He couldn't. Yeah. And that was one of my OG moments of meeting passive aggressive Sarkib. He was just so angry at what had happened. Oh, it was classic. Oh, he's still upset about it. He brought it up the other day. It was
I'll bring it up to him soon.
Oh no, he'll know what you're talking about as well. I love the fact that in the end of this game, right, you can basically choose the evil option or the good option for the ending.
Yes.
And the good option gets you murdered. Okay? Spoiler alert here. Spoilers for everything. And we're not going to tell you why actually happens, but it gets you murdered. And then one of the DLCs brings you back to life.
Yes.
Because if you go through with the end of the game and save it at a dodgy point, you will die and that will be it. That will be end of game. Mm. And most open world games now are kind of very religiously against this. So you can't lock yourself out from the content.
Yes.
But Fallout 3 was one of the last games to do that.
Metal Gear Solid 5 has a thing where if you do a certain story, it kind of really affects.
Yeah, but Konami is the worst. Fuck Konami. Okay, so Konami doesn't count. Anyway, so then the DLC that I like the most is the one that lets you keep playing the game. Yeah, so there you go.
I like that
as well that the Brotherhood of Steel in the first game are really seen as the good guys.
That's true.
Not the first game, but the third game. So, and ever since then, they've kind of not necessarily been the good guys. And it looks, if you watch the new Fallout 4 trailer, the Brotherhood of Steel are actually an enemy that the character's fighting.
It's true, yes. He's taking down the...
It'd be interesting to see what comes of that.
Yeah. Because the way the Brotherhood are described, they're described as kind of hoarders of the best technology that existed just before the nuclear fallout. especially the iconic suits, you know. So it could be that you will have to fight the Brotherhood to get your first suit. I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, it looks like you kind of build it from everything that I've seen.
I hope it is. I hope it isn't, because one of the things they do show off in one of the trailers is you help someone and the suit's just there. And it's kind of like, I hope that isn't the suit that you're building off of. But maybe it is. Maybe that is the base suit and then you build off of that.
Yeah, it also looks like, because they flash up the inventory screens at one point, but if you can see how it's got a list of a load more power armors than we had before. Yes. So we only had kind of, I think it was 4 power armors in New Vegas.
Yeah, 2 Something Enclave, like 2 Brotherhood.
Yeah. And so now basically it looks like there's a ton
lighter versions and heavier versions.
Yeah, but there was only 2 heavy versions, 2 light versions, something like that.
Something like that.
But now we're talking like tons more.
Well, they're all supposed to be customizable in some way, shape, or form. Though we don't know all the details of that, but you basically build your guns and you build your suit to your liking.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm expecting that you get to pick the materials and that affect the weight and the armor and everything. So hopefully, in a lot of ways, everyone's armor will be slightly different as the game goes on. More akin to Skyrim in a lot of ways, but even more so, you know, even more customizable options.
Yeah, so my experience with these games is kind of came off the back of playing Oblivion. So I played Oblivion on the PC, then I got Fallout 3 on the Xbox 360 because I was a bit of a peasant back then because my PC was getting old and crusty. So then we played the DLC and it was a lot of fun, really enjoyed the game. Didn't enjoy how the game was always green though, which is funny because
been changed.
So Fallout 3 was always green, Fallout New Vegas was always orange, and so modders turned around and went, no, enough of that weird single color tone for everything. We'll get rid of that. So they got rid of it and they introduced proper weather. And now Fallout 4, instead of being the natural evolution that everything should have been gray. So instead of that, they've gone, okay, people obviously don't like the fact that we've made everything one color. Let's make it proper weather, which I'm really thankful for. Kind of like Bethesda actually learned a lesson. We learnt the lesson, which is great.
So as we know, in Fallout 4, there's going to be limited amount of mods on the consoles that will have to go for a pre-approval system.
Yeah. This is all going to be very questionable because,
of course,
I mean, it costs you money to put stuff up on the store.
Yeah.
So even if it's in-game, it costs you stuff because whatever you download on Xbox comes from their servers, right? And so it costs you money to put it up on their servers. I'm telling you, it does.
Okay.
Or it comes via them. They have to approve everything you put up on their store.
Yeah.
So patches for games don't come from the developers. They come from Xbox.
Yes, I see.
And it costs you money to put out a patch for your game on Xbox. Or at least that's how I've always known it to be. They may be changing it soon, whatever. Or they may be changing it specifically for Fallout.
Because that's what I'm saying.
Like, when you say certain mods, it's going to be the very few super popular ones that will come out. And this will probably be only be after the modding tools come out.
Yes.
Whereas before then, we're going to have mods on PC almost immediately.
No copyright mods. Like, you're not going to be able to play as Master Chief in Fallout on the
Master
Chief
console.
But the thing is, I'm going to play it exactly the same way I did with Skyrim, which is I'm going to buy the game on console just because that's my main conduit of gaming at the moment. And then once the modding scene gets really lively in like a year or so, and a lot of the bugs have been sorted out and a lot of the kind of really popular ones have come to the top, I'll switch, buy it for PC, probably buy it again. It'll be a lot cheaper then. There might be a Game of the Year edition as well. And then I'll basically play it probably all over again, but with mods.
Okay, I'm going to get it on PC because I'm not a peasant. Watching. Oh.
How is that peasant? It's more expensive on the consoles than it is
peasant
on the PC.
You dirty peasant. You dirty, dirty peasant. Anyway.
Tell me so, more about New Vegas.
So New Vegas, I was actually gonna go. So New Vegas, kind of all the same stuff applies, really. So, but what we'll go for New Vegas is, I think the plot line for New Vegas is the main plot line to me, garbage.
It's much better. I think it's much better.
Garbage.
It is much better than Fallout 3.
Put it in a bin. It's garbage. It's where it belongs.
No, so you're wrong.
The plot line basically is you're dead. You wake up. You're like, oh, I'm not dead. Yay. Now I've got to go and chase down the guy that killed me, and then you chase him down. Then you find out he's got a chip. You find out that the chip upgrades an army of robots. You find out that a guy who's basically a mummy is controlling everything. You then have the choice to kill him or work with him. Obviously, you kill him. Then you kill everyone else.
But then
you win.
That's one of them. But then you could also side with Caesar if you wanted to.
You could pick any side, but
yeah,
why are you going to pick a side when you can be on your own side, the best side, the A-team side, the side
you
that
might not
rolls
know.
In guns blazing and kills everyone.
That
on
also
side.
Ends the that your side ends the game a lot earlier.
Well, you don't have to end the game. You choose when to end the game. Yeah. But to me, it was kind of like, okay, so me, the guy that just got shot in the face and has come literally from the brink of death, now has the opportunity to take over literally everything.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, for God's sake. Like, what? Like, army of robots? Ugh. Garbage.
I love the robots, by the way. I think they're great with their little kind of, you know, 12-inch curved screens and their happy faces. It's great propaganda type stuff where it's like you've got this hunking robot with rockets and machine guns or something on its back, and it's just got this smiley face, which is very much sort of the cartoon vein of everything that's in the universe, like the Fallout Boy.
Yeah, and then there was this whole reputation system where you could only do certain missions once you had enough reputation.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy
in
that.
In certain places.
I've never enjoyed that.
Into the storyline of the main game, and I just thought it was just... it was just...
Yeah.
I thought Fallout 3's storyline of Find Daddy was better. I really do.
Okay.
I just thought it was more straight to the point. Like, give me my quest, and
I don't
I'll
know,
do
maybe
all my
I just
extra
like,
universe building.
Maybe I just like New Vegas more. Just, I like the game overall.
Maybe
more.
I don't like being like, because you just come across as if you're Jesus, which is fine, whatever. But come on now, like you're just a courier who ends up dead, comes back to life, and kills literally everyone else, or sides with one side and kills everyone else.
Yes.
Or side with one side, gets most of the people to agree that you're Jesus, and then kills everyone else. And it's like, oh, for God's sake, I'm not Jesus. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to make it in the wasteland. And maybe I do, you know, end up king of this casino or whatever. But I just shouldn't be in charge of this entire fucking map of people with this army of robots. It's just ridiculous.
I think companions are probably done a bit better in this game as well. I really like the super mutant that's kind of dumb, who goes around with you.
Oh, no, he was a legend in Fallout 3. He's basically taken from Fallout 3. He's the same
in
Fallout 3.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But I think he was probably worked better because he had more of his own storyline in it, and I kind of enjoyed that. The DLCs are a little bit more forgettable, I think, in New Vegas.
I haven't played through them all yet.
So
the caravan one that you start off, spoilers for this, they all moan at you and they're like, oh, don't bring too much stuff, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, well, it's going to be dangerous. You get there and they immediately all get killed. Immediately. And you can't stop it. It's scripted that they get killed. So no matter what you do, however quick you snipe everyone else, they will die. I thought that was hilarious. It's just like, why did you waste my time with this nonsense? Just let me come here by myself. Because I was thinking just to glack the guys that were stopping me from taking all my gear.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. I held back, and that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Should have killed them. But never mind.
But again, I played all the DLCs, but again, I can't remember many of them. I think they were quite forgettable. I think the one that people most point to is the one where you go to one of the vaults and you basically play pre-nuclear war Fallout. And you kind of play in one of the battles, but it's all in virtual reality.
No, that's number three.
That's three. There you go. That's the one that's better.
See, I do think three was a much better game. And it's a much more stable game. Much more stable game.
That's true. I love Vegas. Maybe that was it. It's just Vegas was quite fun. I like it as a city too. I like the fact that it was, as soon as you start a game, that's your aim. Your aim is to get to Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's quite nice to have this kind of directive. Though, obviously, you can play it any way you want, and I've always loved that about the games.
I guess that kind of hints to a bigger thing with open world games, is that open world games can really fall flat on their faces when they don't give you a direction, when they just kind of put you in a big sandbox and go, do something. And then it's like, but what? And then you kind of wander in a direction, you meet some people that are way too high level for you, and you get glacked.
Yeah.
But when you have kind of a direction, like in Fallout 3, it was go to Megaton and do some of the missions there. Fallout New Vegas, it was like, okay, go here and take this path south.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of spelling it out for you to like how to proceed in the opening times when you're not as OP as you eventually will be.
Yeah. I highly recommend actually watching, only because it's kind of funny to watch, though they're about 30 to 40 minutes each, is watch the fastest playthroughs of Fallout 3, New Vegas, Morrowind, and Skyrim if you want as well. And it's just fun watching how people have refined how to beat the game as quickly as possible. And if you've played the game, you're a little bit familiar with it, you'll be able to notice exactly what they do and how much of it was skippable depending on your gameplay and your choices. But anyway, I think we should move on.
All right, so let's move on. Move on in to the extended universe.
Extended universe.
And here we are, I guess, after there was very ham-fistedly cut into the music drop that's supposed to go there. So here we are in the extended universe. And shall I go first, Jamie? You want to go first?
Please do.
Okay. So my one is... So in Muswell Hill, as everyone may know, area of London called Muswell Hill, voted one of the most... Are you going to just continue to knock stuff around while I'm trying to talk? how about you shut your face, yeah?
Don't worry, I'm doing the editing.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, anyway, Muswell Hill, area of London, voted most boring area of London 1 year, which is still completely true, is definitely still very boring, has a cinema that recently was an Odeon cinema, right? And then it closed. Now it's an everyday cinema. God, I can't speak today. So, do you know what an everyday cinema is, Jamie?
It's open every day?
No, it's garbage is what it is. It is the worst cinema I have ever been to in my entire life.
Well, you haven't been to Peckham Plex.
No, I don't think you quite understand. This is the worst cinema ever. Okay,
we should go to it.
This is the worst. No. This is the worst cinema in London by far. So we get there, and it's all hipster because they've decided to build everything out of chipboard and scaffolding, which is great.
It's even the screen and the projector.
It's more than £10 a ticket, right, for standard seats.
Yeah.
So you get in there, you sit down, and you suddenly realise that this is an old theatre. That they changed into two cinema screens, which they've now undone and turned it into one cinema screen.
Yes.
But instead of sitting in the normal downstairs in a theatre, quite close to the stage where you can clearly see everything, you're on the balcony at the back of the balcony because you're in the standard seats.
Yes.
For more than £10.
Oh, what's it cost to get the best seats?
Fuck knows. A lot, okay?
Yeah.
And so you're sitting in these seats and you look down and you suddenly realize that your legs have cramped up because you have all of the space required to fit a dwarf. Okay, so there's no leg space. I mean, even a dwarf would have had trouble fitting their fucking legs into this space. This was ridiculous. It was on a whole other level. And so I was kind of sideways. And I was like, man, to my mate who was sitting next to me, I was like, man, if anyone sits next to us, we are fucked. Because I cannot move. I'm sitting sideways currently. So then we're sitting there. And lo and behold, some people come up and they sit next to us. And I'm like, well, I just look at my mate and we're like, yep, we're moving. So we nick some premium seats.
Excellent. Excellent.
Of course. So we migrate to some premium seats. We're like, fuck it. You know, and I would have even paid them at that point to sit in the premium seats if they had come and caused trouble about it. I would have been like, right, look, here's another tenner.
Yeah.
Go away. Just let me sit in my premium seat. Because I can't sit in that seat because it's built for dwarves. It's built for short dwarves as well. Not even just dwarves. Like the shortest dwarf you can get. Okay? It's ridiculous. So then, we're sitting there. And the film starts, you know. So we saw Bond, right? If you didn't get it from that. And so, like, the music comes on and it blasts out. To a silly loud level. And I'm like, well, I would have enjoyed being able to hear tomorrow, but I guess not. And so eventually, someone must have realized, because 10 minutes later, someone turned it so far down that you couldn't hear it.
Oh, amateurs.
And so after various people went and complained, they turned it back up again. And so after all this nonsense, right, the main problem we're starting to have is the fact that the screen is so far away and is so small that it gets to a point where Bond pulls out some documents and reads them and shows them to the camera and is like, oh, look, plot point.
Oh, right, and you're supposed to read it.
We couldn't read the document. I was like, is this a fucking eye test? What is going on here? I can't read that. It's too far away.
And what my about mate was like, placements?
My mate was like, oh yeah, this would have been nice though. Though we probably have to take our bus to get to the screen. That's how far away it is. It's like, oh, bloody screen's a bus right away. What is going on here? And this is all because, before, they took two screens in a theatre and turned it back into one. But you only sit on the balcony. So you're so far away and it's so small. It's garbage.
Yeah.
And so we watched Bond, which I thought was the most Bond film, and it was the one I enjoyed the most out of all the Daniel Craig ones.
Interesting. I think Skyfall's better.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't think it is even in the slightest. I thought this one was funnier. It had a better woman in it.
It's got more charm. It's definitely got more charm.
It has a Bond girl in it. Where was Skyfall's Bond girl?
Oh, I forget her name.
Nope, didn't have one.
It did have one. It
nope,
did have
garbage.
One. It did have one.
Nope, garbage.
It has the one because the thing is they have the whole shooting something off her head scene, which is actually pretty good in Skyfall.
Meh, no one cares about that. I don't care about... See, I've talked about this before, right? I don't care about the superhero film where the superhero loses his powers. That's such a lazy ass way of doing a film. Like, oh, let's make him more human by having him lose his powers. No, I don't give a shit about that. I don't give a shit about Wolverine when he's not Wolverine. I care about Wolverine, right? I don't want to watch Wolverine lose his regeneration powers.
Yeah, but he's in Japan.
Don't care. No, don't care about that, all right? Look, don't care about Bond when he loses his powers of being Bond, okay? He's Bond. Don't mess with me, okay? I want to see Bond do Bond things. I want to see Bond with a submachine gun... Glack three people from the hip, glack another two people just using his arm, and then pull out of sight and glack three people way too far away for a submachine gun to be that effective. Okay? That's what I want to see. I want to see Bond be Bond. I don't want to see none of that nonsense. Okay, I want to see Bond fight on a train in a spectacular way and beat up a guy who's clearly way too big for him. Okay,
that's what I want to see. Win and would not win.
See, I want to see that stuff. I want to see Bond be Bond. You know, do it in a tux like a legend. See, this is why I liked the latest Bond film. It's because it is a proper Bond film. Finally.
Okay. I understand all your points. I disagree.
Finally,
but I understand
because you don't like Bond films.
No, that's no. Hang on, I love fucking old Bond films.
Anyway, let me finish about the cinema.
Yeah, go on.
So, the cinema was complete garbage, and when I on my way home, the chairs were so bad I had a back spasm on the way home, and I barely got home. I had to crawl home.
Were they just flat wood with no cushioning?
No. So they were like, so the standard ones with the no leg room, my knees would have seized up and I wouldn't have been able to walk anywhere because there was no leg room. And yep. Then the premium ones were like sitting on rocks, like a chair of rocks.
Yeah.
It was just garbage. Just the
All
whole
in
thing.
In the name of rustic charm.
No, in the name of we haven't replaced the seats because we're cheap.
Yeah.
We're cheap hipsters. This is a hipster cinema. Enjoy it. Enjoy your back problems. It was the worst.
Well, I hope you don't go back there then.
No, never again.
Good.
Never, ever, ever again.
You've
it was
got
the worst.
Like a half decent Cineworld view and a half decent Odeon near you, don't you?
Yeah.
So there you go. You've got options.
Yeah. Never mind.
Would it have been okay if it was like £4?
No.
No, okay.
No, those seats were too uncomfortable. I wouldn't have paid money to sit in those seats for any period of time to do anything.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah. Do you want to hear my extended universe?
Probably not.
No, okay. Fine. Well, that's the end of the episode.
No, go ahead. As long as it's not some rubbish about Skyfall being better than Spectre, because it's obviously not.
No.
It's obviously not in any way.
I'm not going to talk about that. I recently took a trip to Belgium.
Oh, definitely don't want to hear about this.
To watch a football game, but not only to do that, to explore a little bit of Belgium. I went to... Now, I am unsure how to pronounce this because it's written...
Let me just get my phone, Jamie. Okay, go ahead.
It's written on the map in several different ways, depending if you're in Belgium or if you're an English-speaking person like me. But I think it's pronounced Ypres, okay? But basically, it's quite a famous location because there were some very large, important battles there during the First World War. And there's a lot of memorials there. And there's a massive World War One museum there as well.
All right.
And
way to bring the whole podcast down with you. With your talk about
yep.
war and death. No. All right. Fine.
No. I'm going to bring it back up later. Don't I? So we went there, and it was very nice to sort of see, you know, the landscape and to see what now feels very, very modern because obviously it was all flattened. But and I think it had been flattened a couple of times as well. But anyway, so. We went there and I was able to go into one of the chocolate shops and I bought a kilo of fucking like 60 individual different chocolates, which was lovely. And I'm still getting through those. And I was able to drink loads of Belgian beers, which are lovely. Quite a lot of them are kind of like fruit beers, which I think are like fantastic. They're a little bit like Alcopop, but they're not as offensive. And there's a lot more kind of, they like their beers really chilled. So I can imagine like Americans would really enjoy the alcohol in Belgium as well. Though it's kind of expensive, but it's still really, really nice. Brussels wasn't like amazing. There was, the main square was kind of interesting, but it's not an amazing place. It's kind of, it feels like a very dull place because I guess because it's the European headquarters and that kind of dominates a lot of the place. It's not a massive city.
Let me shorten this down to also my experience of Belgium.
Yeah, go on.
It's boring.
No.
But it has pubs. Done.
No. No, you're wrong.
Done.
Because I've in a previous trip, I went to Ghent and I went to Bruges, and those places are fucking amazing, okay? Bruges
sure.
is a beautiful city
sure
with loads of things to do and loads of places to see, and it's got a fantastic brewery and a fantastic tour that you can go around.
Done in a weekend.
And have some triple action on the beer.
Great.
And you can go for a horse and carriage ride, and that's loads of fun, and... you can go buy all the paraphernalia if you really want to, though expensive. And Ghent was really fun because it's like a student city, and there was a festival on there when we went, and that was fantastic as well. So, no, I love Belgium. I love their food, I love their culture, and I love their people because their people are really open and nice, and I've never had a bad experience there. One thing I will say, though, is when we went to the football game that I went to, the police presence was insane. I swear there was at least one police officer for every away fan that
you know why that was
up.
Right,
and they segregate really heavily.
No, you know why that was, right?
Why?
Because Spurs fans were attacked, and I think one of them got hospitalized the game.
No, I know that, but
so
the
that's
thing is
it was so heavy.
No, I know, but all the police presence was directed towards the away fans.
Of course it was.
Not directed towards, I don't know, the home fans, which were the ones who attacked the Spurs fans.
Yeah, of course it was directed towards the away fans. Because would you rather protect a smaller group of people or try and stop a huge group of people trying to kill that small group of people? You'd much rather play defense in that situation. This is the art of war, okay? You'd much rather play defense in that situation, okay? Don't worry about
it. I think it was just they over-exaggerated what the problem could have been with the away fans. But that's fine. Nothing happened at the game. Nothing bad went on. The only thing I would say that I was kind of frustrated by is when the game finished and we got on the train. The train was an express train with no information whatsoever about where it was going to stop. Just took us to the centre of Brussels and just dropped us all off. And actually told we had to get off. We couldn't go on an extra stop or anything like that. And that makes no sense in terms of dispersing a crowd. Like, you want as many people as possible to get off at loads of different stops so that you don't create a mob or you don't create a kettling situation. But anyway, that was my only pet peeve, but it all worked out in the end. I was able to get a few more beers in and go to bed and have a good night and have a good trip and overall. And I highly recommend going to Belgium if you're in, you know, if you're able to go, because it's got fantastic beer, fantastic food, fantastic people.
Meh, forgettable.
Yeah, I know you would say that. I know your preference is somewhere like Italy, and I love Italy as well, but I really enjoy Belgium as well.
Yeah, it is.
If you like France but don't want, like, the French people, then there you go. Belgium's your
think,
choice.
I think if you like France and you've already got more issues, to be honest, you got bigger issues going on. You got bigger issues going on.
Geez. Anyway.
Even Adam doesn't like France. And he's French. Come on now.
Well, he better fucking like France, because if we in the UK leave the EU, he's going to fucking have to go back.
Well... there are positives, eh? No, right. He's a legend. He's a legend.
Well,
He's a legend.
That's been the extended universe.
And that's been the podcast.
And that's been the podcast.
Another one in the can. Are we keeping these in cans? I'm sure we are. Don't worry about it. It's what it actually means. Right?
Electronic cans. Yeah.
Yeah. No, literal cans. We're putting them in cans. Shipping them out.
What I'm doing is I'm printing the waveform, putting them in tin cans with some beans. And
of course.
Just throwing
what other cans are you going to put them in?
At
come on now.
People, throwing them at people and telling them, listen to the podcast.
To check out my mixtape. It's on fire.
All right. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Level complete.